For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. You know, what's interesting is you see that Abraham gave God a tenth part of what? All. What is all? How much is all? All is all. And that's all is. I mean, it's all encompassing. It's everything. It's leaving nothing out. And so what we see is, we see in one where God, Abraham's coming back from the slaughter, and he has all these spoils. What we mean by spoils is not like the spoiled milk you have in the fridge that you're going to just dump out. It's the spoils. It's all the things that they obtained through war, whether it be the things financial. Maybe they took all their gold and their silver. Maybe they took property. Maybe who knows what they took. But it's all financial that they took. And so Abraham is coming back, having conquered this nation. He's coming back, and he has all this money on him, all this riches on him, and he sees Melchizedek. And Melchizedek, by the way, is a picture of Christ. He's not a real king. And you go, well, why is it in there? It's to show you that Abraham is completely, totally surrendered to God. And nothing's going to get in his way. We see this all throughout the passages of Scripture, of men that are sold out. God, I'll give you everything. I'll set up an altar. I'm going to bless you. Here's my altar. God, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. You know, yesterday, because since we had the fire, we've not had insulation up in the attic. And so let me tell you something. I burn wood, and man, we couldn't keep that wood stove hot enough to keep the house hot enough. And the minute you ignored it, the fire would go down and the house would be cold, and you're like, oh my goodness. And so I was going through wood and got in the insulation in it, finished putting it in last night, 80% of it. I just have a little bit to do, but I got some wiring, so I'm not going to put this center strip in. And man, we had the fire going, and all of a sudden, our house was toasty. This morning, got up. I live down in a hole, so it's like 26 in the hole, right? And I got up and I went, wow, it's still 69 in the house and the fire's still burning. It didn't burn out overnight. And I thought, man, what a blessing from God, right? So literally, as I'm going out and getting more wood to come in to stoke the fire up and keep it going, I'm walking out there and I'm like, every good and perfect gift comes from you, Lord. And Lord, right now when it's so cold outside and it's warm inside, that is a perfect gift. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the insulation. Thank you for the wood stove. Thank you for the wood. Thank you for fire. Thank you for heat. Thank God. Thank you. And all of a sudden, all I could do this morning was just start praising God. I couldn't help myself. Because the reality is, guys, if we stop and we think, listen, the money you have, who cares? God doesn't care. I can assure you of that. Abraham was very wealthy, and God took his tithe. And you know what? The widow's mite, we talked about that. She was very poor, and he took hers too. God's like, why? Well, because it's his. It belongs to him. And God's like, I'm going to bless you. And then if we just stop and look at the blessings, how many this morning woke up in a warm house? How many had water running that you didn't, they just turn it on and there it was, right? How many were able to get in a car and drive here, or even get a ride to come to church, right? Anybody stop and take the time to thank God for those blessings this morning? I'm wondering, like, I got caught up, am I being breaking up real bad? Well, hopefully I didn't break up when it really mattered.
Hello?
Yeah. I tell you what will help, too. If everyone turns their cell phones off, that really will help on this breaking up, because the ceilings are so low and the antennas for these monitors are back there. And then I'm up here and all the cell phones are in between, and it breaks the signal. I know some of you are like, and you've even told me, Pastor, I don't believe you when you say the cell phone's getting away. Okay. turn them off. They really do get in the way. All right, here we go. So Abraham says, have you noticed I'm a little annoyed today by people? Forgive me for that. I love everyone here because you guys aren't the problem. All right, so here we go. Let's just get on this. So in 7:2, in 7:2, he says, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace. Go to 3. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the sons of God, remains a priest continually. Do you get the idea that this is a picture of Christ? Melchizedek is a picture of Christ, because there is no human king alive that doesn't have a mother and father. Amen. There is no human king alive that doesn't die eventually. Nobody lives forever. Only Jesus Christ lives forever. And so this is literally the description of Jesus being God. And so we see that Abraham gave a tenth to Melchizedek, the king. And by the way, listen, this is before the law. Guys, everybody wants to say tithing's under the law. It's under the law. It's under the law. I'm going to tell you, tithing started with Abraham. And who was before Abraham? Nobody. And it goes all the way through the Bible. So we can't say it's under the law, it doesn't apply to us today. It does. Remember, God said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I do not change. And then he starts talking about money and the tithe. I find that real interesting. But we want to discredit that. And we can't do it. And then when we see here, listen, this is a picture of Christ. And who did Abraham give the tithe to? Christ. Guys, listen, as much as we want to keep our money and be godly, you can't do it. I can't do it. We can't. And listen, next verse, 4. I got to move on because we got to eat today too. All right. Now consider how great this man was to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. Next. And indeed, those who are the sons of Levi. So here's what we're going to start seeing happen in the scriptures here. What we're going to start seeing is, first you have Abraham, right? Who is the father of many nations. Now here's what you guys may not realize. I'm going to give you a little bit of history here to help you out. So we have Abraham. Well, prior to Abraham, people were all people. And then we get Abraham, and there's a split of Abraham and then the Gentiles. Abraham was the beginning of the Jews. It began, listen, the split of Jew and Gentile was at Abraham. And it's because Abraham, listen, Abraham serving God, loving God, giving to God, withholding nothing. You know, God told him to move. God said, Abraham, I want you to move. And Abraham said, where do you want me to go, Lord? And here's what God told him. Anybody remember what God told him? I'll show you when you get there. Right? How many here would move? God says, hey, I want you to move. And then you say, okay, God, I'm willing to move. Where do you want me to go? And God says, I'll show you when you get there. How many would be moving tomorrow? So let me just share this. Abraham said, okay. And he packed everything up and he headed out. And you know what I guarantee you? God led him. God's not going to tell him to move and not tell him where to move. God just wants Abraham to trust him. And it started right there. Because God's going to use Abraham in big ways and do many things through Abraham. He's going to use Abraham in amazing ways. But listen, Abraham's just got to go. Don't ask questions. Just go. Don't argue with me. Just go. Take your family and go. Well, what about my father? Take your family and go. Don't worry about your father. And you know what Abraham did? He got up and went. Okay, I'll go. And you know what I know from you, God? When I get there, you'll tell me to stop. Total surrender, guys. Abraham brings the spoils in, and the first thing he does, the first thing, he gives God a tenth. Do you know why? Because he realized every good and perfect gift comes from God, and he's not going to withhold anything. And listen, God, you have my whole life. I'm yours. I'm open. Here I am. Use me. Isn't that what Isaiah said? Here I am. Use me. And Abraham did the same thing, and he said the same thing, and there was nothing in the way. Nothing. We complain, God doesn't do this, God doesn't do that. Where's God? I thought God was supposed to answer prayer. I haven't heard anything from God. And we go on and on and on with these complaints, but here's my question. How much time have you really spent with God building that relationship so you actually hear him when he talks? And then if we're going to complain about what God gives us, doesn't he give us what's best for us? Listen, he even says in the Gospels, you being evil, meaning us, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more me, not knowing how to be evil, can give good gifts. God wants to bless us. He wants to give to us. But we got to be totally surrendered. Total surrender. That's the hard part. I'm not going to lie to you. That's the hard part. And usually the reason that we don't totally surrender is because we don't trust. We don't trust God. Now, it could be for a multitude of reasons. Listen, you may not trust God because in your past, everybody you've ever trusted has done you wrong. And so therefore, you have walls up and you're like, I can't trust anybody. God, I'm not going to trust you. I can't even see you. Well, if you don't trust God, you're not going to be totally surrendered to him. So then don't complain when you don't get from God what you think you should. It's total surrender. Total surrender. Total surrender. And Abraham is total surrender. He goes on. He says, so as it starts with Abraham, and indeed those who are the sons of Levi. And so now these are the priests, right? The Levitical priests, the sons of Levi, who received the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law that is from their brethren, that they have come from the loins of Abraham. And so here's what he's saying. He says, listen, they're from Abraham, and Abraham gave, and they got to give, and you got to give. The brethren got to give to what? To who? To the priest. I'm not telling you to give to me. Do not go there. What I'm telling you is, though, God says, listen, it keeps going, because if you stop it, then the church stops. If you quit supporting and financially getting behind moving my word, moving the house of God that literally fills and builds and encourages and loves each other, if you quit feeding that and quit giving to that, it will die, and then you won't have anything. It amazes me how many people are willing to give to every charity under the sun, and then when you come to church, you're like, I ain't giving to them. All they want is my money. Go to Walmart and see what they want. Right? Go to dinner. Go to Cheesecake Factory. Sit down and eat their meal and see what they want when you're done. Go to the mall. Load up a bag of stuff and try to walk out the door and see what they want before you leave. But yet nobody has a problem with any of that. Yet we have a problem giving to the Lord. And he says, it's been that way from the beginning. It just keeps going right down the line. Nobody's exempt. Go to 7:6. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. So he's like, he goes right into the genealogy that's not even from Abraham. Do you realize we're not from Abraham? How many in here is Jewish? Okay, so that means everyone in this room is not from Abraham. You're a Gentile. We're still to give. We're still to give. Go to the next one, 7. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. The lesser is blessed by the better. Who's the lesser in this? Abraham is. Who's the lesser of us versus God? We're the lesser. And yet God says, because you give, if you notice, he started with Abraham, and then he went to the Levitican priest, and then he went to the brothers and sisters, and then he went to those who aren't in the genealogy of Abraham. I think he covered everyone, didn't he? And he says, listen, when they all give the tithe, they're blessed by the better. Who's the better? God's the better. Who's the lesser? We're the lesser. Did you guys catch last week too, where God says, if you give me what's mine, I'll bless you? If you notice what he's doing here today, you give me what's mine, I'll bless you. God just wants to bless us. Like literally, and I'm not talking like you give God $100 and he's going to give you $10,000 and woo, you mail $1,000 to my house, you'll be blessed. Right? You hear these TV evangelists saying that? I just want you to know the only one getting blessed is the evangelist. I was listening to one the other day. I think it was Copeland. If you listen to him, turn him off. He's scripturally wrong. He's a sheep in wolf's clothes. And you go, really, you're talking about? Yeah, I am. He gets on there and he says, God told me to tell you to send in money because God wants me to have this $50 million airplane. Oh, I'm not lying. Google it. You'll hear him talk about it. Hit from his lips. He's the one that God talks about in Malachi where you're evil and yet you speak good or say it's good. Yeah. That's not... Listen, they're the only ones getting blessed. God just says, though, if you give the way I say to give, I'm going to bless you. We got to do it God's way. And I can assure you, at this point, no airplane is in the picture. I'm just saying. Not even a gold toilet seat is in the picture. It's just porcelain like everywhere else in the... Nice little one that's on shocks. When it lowers down, it doesn't slam. How many have one of those? Nobody? We got one here and you guys don't have one? All right. 8. Here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. The key word in this passage is witnessed. When we give God the tithes, it's a witness that he lives. Guys, I'm just telling you, the tithe is God's. And if it gets in our way, then that the tithe is your God, not God. Next, 9. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak. In other words, it gets funneled through the channels. But if you notice, we're in Hebrews, which is New Testament, and he's still talking about the tithe. Why? Because we're supposed to tithe. 10. Look here at 10. For he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Before the law. Levi wasn't even born yet. The law didn't come until Levi. And yet, he's talking about the tithe, and he says, listen, Levi was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Guys, the tithe is before, during, after the Old Testament, after the law, after all the other mess. God says, listen, here's the deal. I want you without strings. I want you to not hold on to all this other stuff. Some of you tithe, man. You listen. You have zero problem tithing. You tithe. You're matter of fact. You're happy tithers. giddy about tithing. Listen, I know people when they give their tithe to the Lord, they literally start smiling and I mean they're like joy just starts overcoming them. They have no problem giving it. But then there's other things in their life that they won't give to God. It's like, oh man. Total surrender means, listen, nothing's going to get in the way between me and God. We're just talking about the tithe this month. Wait till Christmas. I'll talk about something else. The tithe. What I want you to see as we've looked at this, guys, is I want you to see that you can go ahead and put the picture up. I'm done with the verses. I want you to see that God only cares about you and I. That's it. The tithe, your possessions. God says, I want you to have money. I want you to have money. I want you to have things. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to give you a little bit, and if you can be faithful with that little bit, I'm going to give you more. And the more I can trust you with, the more I'm going to give you. But if I can't even trust you with a little, don't think I'm going to give you a whole lot. How many here, you give something to your children and they lose it, and you're excited to give them even more the next time? We're not. Do you think God's any different? Some of you are really struggling financially. And I'm not going to tell you that if you tithe that your money woes are going to go away. But what I'm going to tell you is that if you trust God and He knows that you're struggling financially, and yet you still give Him what's His because it's His and it's the right thing to do, do you honestly think that God's not going to bless you in some way, form, or fashion? I mean, He may not give you $10,000, and the reality is, it may be because you can't be trusted with $10,000. The reality is, He knows that if He gives you money, that you're just going to blow it on silly things. And you're not going to be responsible, and you're not going to pay your bills. You know, the Bible says that we're to owe no man nothing. That we are to live debt-free. Do you realize that? The Bible says that we are to be responsible with our money, that we're not to go in debt, that we're not to bury ourselves because we're a servant to the lender. And so you might be struggling with some of your bills, and God goes, man, I would love to give you $10,000 to pay your bills, or you owe $2,000 over here on this credit card that's eating you alive in interest. I would love to give you the $2,000, but I give you the $2,000, you make the minimum payment and go out and do something stupid. Is that truth? I mean, come on, guys. So then you complain, well, you know, God knows I have this bill. I can't afford it. It's not that you can't afford it. It's just that you're not being smart. God wants you to have things, but He doesn't want things to have you. Abraham came in. He sees Melchizedek and gives him a tenth, bam, of everything, of all. You know, because people are like, do I tithe on the gross or the net? Well, the answer is, do you want gross blessing or net blessing? And then, right? I mean, like, I don't know how to answer that except for that. And then it's like, okay, well, do I tithe on my income tax, a check, return check that I get? Well, did you tithe on the gross? If you tithe on the gross, then you get this back. You've already tithed on the money you made. If you tithe on the net, then you owe on your return because you didn't tithe. Does that make sense? See, guys, this is just so simple, but the reality is that anything that comes into my house, my wife and I are like, we tithe on it. We taught our children, you tithe. Why? Because listen, if it comes back into my house after it has left my house, it is a blessing of God. Amen? And so God says, listen, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to give to you because this is what I want to do. And it may not always be money. Do not think for 1 minute I'm standing up here saying that God's going to bless you abundantly and build your bank account, because that may not be true. But those 80,000 or those tires that are half tread on them, and he knows that you can't afford a new set, they might just go twice as long and you can't explain it. You normally get 300 miles out of a tank, and all of a sudden, for the last couple of weeks, you've been getting 500 out of a tank of gas. That might be God. He says, I can't trust you with money. And so because you trust me, I'm going to bless what you have, and I'm going to rebuke the devourer so your car is not going to rot away and fall apart and so on and so forth. See, God knows what we need, and he knows how to take care of us. The problem is we don't always trust God to do what's right for us because we think we know what's right. How many of us have ever dug a hole because we knew better? Oh my God, right? It's like, man, we make a poor decision and then the fallout happens and we're like, oh, I knew I shouldn't have done that. Well, why'd you do it? I know, don't talk to me. Right? God's going to give us what he knows we need that's going to bless us to get us where we have to be because we're faithful stewards. Some people can't manage money. Other people can. You might be in a marriage where, as the man, you're frivolous with your money. You think that you can go out and buy toy after toy after toy after toy. Who doesn't like toys? Amen. But the wife is like, you can't do that, so I'll control the money. She's not keeping anything from you. She's trying to save the house because you don't know how to spend money. Oh, you know how to spend it. It's just not good. The reality is, guys, some of us aren't good with money. And some of us can't get a check and do what's right with it. We got to get a check and do frivolous things with it. And so God's not going to bless you financially because he knows you can't handle it. It's not a slam. It's just a reality. And so if that's you, don't go, well, God hasn't given me anything. Nah, because God knows he can't trust you. You know what God wants us to be? Funnels. Funnels. He pours it in and we distribute it out. That's what God wants us to be. And the more he can trust you with, the more he will give you. I guarantee it. You know how I know? The scriptures say. If you're faithful with the little, I'll give you more. The only reason that you are struggling, if you don't tithe, if you don't give the Lord what's his, whatever that is, if things get in the way between you and God, what you have is you have a fractured relationship. And if God can't trust you in certain areas, that's because it's a problem area for you. Don't get mad at God. Look at yourself just for a moment. And say, okay, do I need to fix this? And then fix it. And you'll see God move in your life. And I know some of these sermons are difficult. I mean, I know that. But I'm just trying to get each and every one of you guys to see that money may not always be the answer to your problems. Your problems may just need a heart adjustment. That may be it. What are you putting before God? Typically, it's money. That's why Jesus specifically talks about money more than anything else in the Bible. In the New Testament, one out of every six verses, Jesus talks about money. One out of every six. Jesus talks about money more than he talks about heaven and hell combined. But I think it's because people put money before God. People will say, money's evil. No, money's not evil. Listen. Money is no more. It's a tool, same as this mic is a tool, so that you guys can hear me, and it can be recorded. Money is a tool, just like these lights are a tool for us to be able to see in here. Money is just a tool. The Bible says, "For the love of money," and if you look that up in the Greek, that word "love" literally means lust. The lust of money, because that's what's driving us, those that have a problem with it. So guys, all I want you to do is think about this. If you get mad at me because I've talked about money, money's your problem. And you might go, "I don't agree." You don't have to agree. Truth is not dependent upon what we think. Truth is truth because it's truth. Just look at where you're at. What drives you? What moves you? And you'll find your God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and love you. Father, thank you for the time today. Father, forgive me for where I've been wrong. Forgive me, Father, Father, just forgive me if I've stepped out of line today. But I pray your hand upon this church. I pray your hand upon me. I pray your hand upon every individual in here. And Father, more than anything, I pray that you would help us to see what it is that gets in the way between us and you as individuals. As people, Father, we have a tendency to hold on to what we see and what we have. Father, as people, we have a tendency to put you in the same category as others who have hurt us or taken from us. Father, I pray that as we leave here today, that everybody's mind is set on you, Father. And then we look in the mirror and we really look at ourselves. And we ask you the hard questions, Father. And then when you give us the true answers, we don't discount them and throw them away because we don't like them. But Father, we truly look at the answers. And Father, whatever it is that's getting in the way between us and you as individuals, I pray that each person in here accepts your answer and fixes it. And Father, I pray that you would truly bless everyone in this room. And that you would bless them abundantly, whatever that looks like and however it is. And then at each and every one of us, Father, we would wake up every morning. Every morning. And count our blessings. And thank you, understanding that every good and perfect gift comes from you. Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.